We are going through a lengthy series on the names of God, and we've transitioned into what many people would call the titles of God, and just picking one out each Wednesday evening, and so looking forward to tonight. And as soon as you can look at your notes, or as soon as I ask my question, you'll know where we're going. How many people besides me like bread? Bread? Any special kind of bread? Sourdough bread? I heard that. I was actually Googling bread, and they said one of the breads that you could actually live on may be sourdough, because it had certain things in it. Anybody else? Other kinds of bread? Pumpernickel. Okay, that's at the top of my list. Cornbread. Okay. Cornbread, and I'm guessing some greens and sweet tea. Okay. And that would definitely be a regional favorite. Anybody else favorite bread? Anybody going to say white bread? Wonder bread? The kind of bread you can take and squeeze and it becomes a golf ball? See what air bread. Yeah, when we think of bread today, we sometimes think of white bread. Bread that's, you know, I don't know, not my favorite. You know, I've noticed when we go to barbecue places, they will give you a piece of bread. That's the only time I see white bread. They will give you frequently a piece of white bread that I just toss to the side. I really like dark bread. It was mentioned up front, pumpernickel. Nancy picked up a salad for me the other day at a local, you know, restaurant, whatever. And it was really nice. There was a brown paper bag, and inside was a small, kind of a large roll, a very small loaf of very dark bread. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And I warmed it up in the oven and put some butter on it and really enjoyed it. When you think of bread in the ancient world, it was something that sustained life. It was a staple of life. And so today, if you haven't figured out already, the title that we're considering is Jesus, the Bread of Life. And we're going to open up tonight to John chapter 6 and just kind of walk through this chapter a little bit. And we're going to be seeing, as we focus on much of the chapters, much too much to cover in our short time. But I want to focus on the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. And just to be very explicit, there's an analogy in this passage. As bread provides physical life to all who eat it. Now, notice there's two parts. The bread provides physical life. Remember, we're thinking dark, nutritious bread, not, you know, white or whatever. Only to those who eat it, Jesus provides eternal life to all who believe in him. And that's, I think, the key to this passage. And there's other things going on as well that we don't have time to consider tonight. But just a couple of things. We'll start reading in John chapter 6 in verse 1, and we'll work our way down to verse 14. And you'll see there that you have a handout with a number of things on it. I have the main points. The first point, if you're filling things out, Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. Just a couple of things to maybe help your interest. This is the only miracle, I'm told, that is in all four of the gospel accounts, this miracle. And it's also the first of the classic I am passages where Jesus is saying, I am, which, of course, goes back to Jesus identifying himself as Yahweh, as we read of the I am in Exodus 3:14. Okay? After these things, verse 1, reading from NASB, John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad who has 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." So here's this wonderful, miraculous account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and certainly more than 5,000 people in total being there. And that's just setting the stage for this evening. Okay. You say, so what happens next? Number 2, we see that many saw this miracle and they sought Jesus for the wrong reasons. And here are people for the wrong reasons wanting to follow Jesus. Look at verse 15, for example. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. So here are people seeing Jesus do this, and they're immediately thinking, okay, what a great king he would make right now to help us overthrow the Romans under whom we are in servitude, right? And that's what some people thought. Others, we're going to skip a section here, the account of walking on water. If you go all the way down to verse 26, and I'll pick it up here in John 6, 26. Jesus answered then and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has sent his seal." So here are some people hoping to get more bread. Now, again, we don't think of bread as a big deal. But at this time, bread, a staple of life, bread was necessary. Many of these people, not being financially secure, to have someone who could just give them bread whenever they were hungry would be a great thing. And so here are some people following Jesus, simply hoping to get more bread. And then others may be just wanting to see another miracle, right? Verse 30. So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." So Jesus, are you going to be doing more signs? So we have some people following Jesus. Why? You know, some because maybe we'll make him king. Others, well, materially, he'll supply what we need, unlimited bread. Others, well, at least we'll see more miracles. And Jesus clarifying in verse 32, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." And of course, he's referring to himself in that text. You say, how do you know that? Because we go forward to verse 35, which is our third point tonight. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." And you see that in verse 35. The first time of 2 times in this passage, he clearly says this. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." So notice how specific Jesus is. If a person comes to me, he will not hunger. Obviously, we're talking about a picture that Jesus provides what a person needs, as bread provides for a person physically and gives them physical life. Jesus provides for a person spiritually and gives them eternal life. And then he who believes in me will never thirst. Notice the point in verse 36. "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." The whole point of the passage is believe, right? As people partake of bread, which is necessary for life, you must believe in me. What is he making the point of? I am the bread of life. He said that in verse 35. Again, we'll go down, we'll skip a few verses. Drop down to verse 47. And we'll see that Jesus repeats that same key point, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. And here is Jesus repeating that. So we have the main focus of the passage. If you believe in him, you have eternal life. You go down to verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Right? You eat even manna, which was supernaturally provided, but still physical bread, and you end up dying. Jesus is talking about a different kind of bread. He's talking about coming to him. And when you do that, verse 50, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. What are we talking about? We're talking about believing in Jesus. So, in conclusion, if we wrap this up, and again, I realize I've skipped a number of things, and there's many things that you could focus on in the passage, but I believe this is the key. What do we see in the passage? If I were to ask us to summarize it, maybe 2 points. As bread provides physical life, Jesus provides eternal life. Again, think of dark, coarse bread that could actually sustain life, at least for long periods of time. Jesus, that's the kind of bread they had back then. Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. As this would provide for physical life, I provide for eternal life. But don't miss the second point. The second point, as people must partake of bread to live physically. You could have that dark, rich, life-giving, healthy, those small, round, brown loaves of bread and walk by it and not partake of it. And it's not going to help you live physically. So Jesus here imploring people to believe in him, because apart from Jesus, there is no eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life. And that's the title that we've looked at this evening. Now, typically what we do on Wednesday nights, we're doing a little different tonight. Typically right now I would pray and then we would divide up into our separate groups and then we'd work through a couple of questions and then we'd stay in those groups and pray. We're going to do that a little bit differently tonight. Tonight we'll stay together for our time of questions. And so I'll be just talking with you guys a little bit. You help me out. We'll answer the questions that are on the sheet just to get us to think about the passage. And then after that, for a prayer time when we're down to maybe 20 minutes left or so, then I'll invite you just to pray in small groups, just anyone you're nearby, just to pray for and with one another. And that'll, again, just be a little bit different than what we typically do. But I hope that'll be something that'll be encouraging for all of us. Okay. So notice on your handout, you have what's called discussion. Jesus is the bread of life. And number one question, what role did bread play in biblical times? And second part, how is this analogous to Jesus being the bread of life? So who wants to help out and speak out a little bit? What role did bread play in biblical times? And how is that analogous to Jesus being the bread of life? Who wants to help? Ward?
Bread is life-giving food.
Bread is life-giving food. So again, not just a side thing like we think of. Good. And how is that analogous to Jesus being the bread of life? Again, maybe I know we just talked about it, but we just want to make sure it's clear. Anyone? Over in the back there, John? Okay. Okay. Okay, good. So we have other passages that point out the importance of coming to Christ, believing in Christ. And we're going to come back to the consuming part. Good. So as bread is life-giving, necessary for life, so Jesus is someone who is necessary for eternal life. Question number two. Bread only nourishes those who partake of it. How is eating bread analogous to believing in Jesus? Again, I know we've just talked about it, but just to make sure it's clear. How is eating bread analogous to believing in Jesus? Who wants to help? Over here, John. Good. So if a person, just using the manna as an example, the Lord could supernaturally provide manna, but if you chose for whatever reason not to partake of it, it doesn't benefit you. In the same way, the Lord has provided the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And yet, if we don't come to him in repentance and faith, then it's of no benefit to us. And so there we have a parallel. Okay? All right, I have here, on that second question, I made a list of a number of verses in this passage that actually make it clear that we have to believe in Jesus in order to experience him as the bread of life. I might have missed them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the John 6 passage, I'm looking at 5 specific verses, and sometimes 2 verses together, where it makes it very clear that we have to exercise saving faith in order to benefit eternally from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody, you see them? Anybody want to mention 1 or 2? Again, I got 6 of them listed here. And maybe you could just buzz through the John 6 passage. Do you see there? Passages that specifically say we need to believe in Jesus. It's just again and again and again. Anybody at all? Again, I have 6 of them. There may be more than 6. And we're staying in the John 6 passage. Anyone? Okay, Laurie, which verse did you say? Verse 29. Good. And what does verse 29 say? Let's go to verse 29. Did you want to read that? Good. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's 1 in verse 29. More. More. There's a number of them in the passage. Way in the back. Brandon. Yes, sir. Okay. And was that 35, Brandon? Yes, sir. And would you read that for us, please? And notice the parallel between coming to Jesus and believing in him. What does it mean to come to him? It means to believe in him. And that's the one who receives eternal life. Good. How about a couple more?
Verse 47.
47. John, do you want to read that for us, please? Good. So he who believes in me has eternal life. There's no eternal life apart from belief in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good. Anybody else? A couple more? Rick, you have your hand up?
Yeah, verse 40.
Okay.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Good. So we behold the Son and we believe in him. And that's the person who has eternal life. Wonderful. Anybody else? All of these are great. I have another 1 or 2. Anybody? Over here. Yes, sir. 53. Yes, sir. Do you want to read that for us? Okay. And I'm going to come back to that one. And yes, that is true, even though we're going to circle back on that one, because that's going to be my next question. It's going to relate to that. Any others that clearly have the word belief in them and the importance of belief? Over here, Jeff. Okay, and you want to read, did you say 51, Jeff? Yeah, if you'd read that, please. And Jeff, I'm going to put that in the same category as the last comment. We're going to come back to that in the next question. That is one. That is correct. We just have to ask another question about that. Others about belief, should I just point them out? Okay. You may want to also go down to verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. And then verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. So notice the emphasis on the importance of belief. And then one more time, verse 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed. There it is. And come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So we're making the point tonight that bread is necessary for physical life. Jesus, the bread of life, is necessary for eternal life. As bread only benefits those who partake of it, Jesus only benefits for eternal life those who believe in him. Now we'll do number three. Some suggest that Jesus is being literal here and that this text means we must literally partake of his flesh, and that is something that we would do during communion. And so when we observe the Lord's table, we would literally be taking part of the Lord's flesh. You say, where would you get that idea from? Go back to verse 53 and let me read a little bit, beginning at verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, verse 53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. That's a whole lot of emphasis on eating. You'll also see that in verses 63 and 4. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. But there are some of you who don't believe. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a second. So my question would be, what do we do with this? We do have some who would teach that the Lord's table, when you partake of communion, you're actually partaking of the body of Christ. And that's what John 6 is actually teaching. If you said to me, Greg, how would you respond to that? So just to help us narrow a little bit, notice what I have under number three. And I have a first bullet. What do we conclude by comparing verses 40 and 47? Those are parallel with verse 54. And this is going to help us. Okay? So let's start with verse 40. And let me see. Somebody want to volunteer to read verse 40? Just to include you guys, somebody want to volunteer to read verse 40 for us? Joe, please. Okay, very clear. He who believes in him will have eternal life. Keep that in mind. And Joe, would you also read verse 47, please? Second time, super clear, he who believes has eternal life. That's twice in the passage, of course, consistent with the rest of Scripture. Now let's go down to verse 54. And Joe, if you don't mind, keep reading. Would you do 54 as well, please? No. That can't be right. Because Jesus just said twice, he who believes in me has eternal life. So why is Jesus now changing it to he who eats my flesh has eternal life? I mean, twice he said, believe in me, you have eternal life. And now what is he doing? Is he like changing his mind? No, I didn't mean that. Eternal life is given to those who eat my flesh. A very logical and appropriate conclusion would be what? Anyone? What does it mean to eat his flesh? To believe. Eating his flesh is a picture of believing in him. You say, where do you see that? The three verses Joe just read. The text makes very clear, if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. And then wait, eat his flesh and have eternal life. What's that all about? Just keep the whole chapter in mind. Bread is necessary for physical life, and you must partake to benefit. Jesus is necessary for eternal life, and you must partake to benefit. So if we look at those three verses together, we understand exactly what Jesus meant. To eat his flesh is to believe in him. And I hope that's clear. That's our first bullet. Let's think about a second bullet. You see that on your handout? Let's assume that somebody was to conclude, no, I don't believe that. We'll forget what I've just said, what three verses Joe just read. Let's assume that Jesus is actually talking about eating his flesh. And as people allegedly do during communion. If that were the case, let's now go to verse 53 and 54, and let's see how that interpretation would fit in with these two verses. Anybody want to volunteer to read verse 53 and verse 54? And then we're going to see what would these verses mean if we conclude that we literally are supposed to eat Jesus' flesh. And Rick, you want to read 53, 54?
So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day.
Think about that. If Jesus is actually saying that we need to eat his flesh, and assuming that would be done in a communion service, etc., then this is saying if you don't partake of communion, you have no life. In fact, the way to get saved is to go to communion. And so that's what this text would mean. Because there is no eternal life apart from coming to a communion service and partaking of the body of Christ, if that would be the proper interpretation. It obviously cannot refer to that. And of course, if you're just thinking through your Bibles a little bit, I hope you realize this can't really be pointing to the Last Supper. That's an event that hasn't happened yet. Okay? There's nothing in this passage that really focuses on the Last Supper. The Last Supper points to Christ. Jesus is pointing to himself. It reminds us we need to believe in Christ. This passage is pointing to that same reality. But again, the Last Supper hasn't taken place yet. Third bullet, last thing, and then we'll wrap up. How does verse 63 further help us to understand this passage? Well, notice, I'll read it, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. How do we gain eternal life? The Holy Spirit works in our hearts, and thus we put faith in the words of Jesus Christ. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the words that Jesus has spoken. His words like bread. His person and work like bread. Only benefit bread has is for those who partake. The benefit of Jesus for eternal life is for those who believe. And so I hope going through this has encouraged us to think about Jesus as the bread of life. What do I need to stay alive? Ancient world. I need bread. What do I need for eternal life? I need Jesus. And does bread benefit everyone who looks at it? No. And does Jesus eternally benefit everyone who looks and beholds him? No. But it's only those who would turn from their sin, those who in repentance and faith would embrace the person and work of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who receive eternal life as they believe his word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the bread of life, and I hope that would encourage you. One last practical question. So what difference does this make in my life? How does this change how I live tonight, tomorrow morning? You know, you say, okay, Greg, I think I might have a better handle on a passage, perhaps. How does this change how I live? How does this make any difference in my life? Anyone?
Just provides more assurance that we indeed have eternal life living in Christ and will never die.
Good. It gives us more assurance that, John, you're saying, I do believe in Jesus Christ. I have eternal life. I am never going to eternally die. And thus it increases the assurance of a believer. Good. What else? How does this practically encourage us? Oh, in the back, Joe? Good. Absolutely. So here we are. We're doing God's will when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus. Good. More. How does this practically help me? Yes, ma'am. Good. So we can think of priorities. Nothing wrong with planning a nice meal, right? Nothing wrong with even looking forward to bread, a loaf of bread. But guys, there's something more important than that, right? And really, if we think about this, our time in the Scriptures, our daily time in the Word of God ought to actually be more important to us than the time we spend in meals. And again, many of us enjoy meals. And especially sometimes we get the whole family together and we spend a lot of time in meal prep and we rejoice in that. And I'm not suggesting that that's wrong. But maybe the time that a family gets together and opens up the Scriptures and reads God's Word together and prays is actually more valuable than the time when we partake just of physical food. And maybe that'll encourage some of us even this week in our individual Bible reading and as we get together with family, friends, roommates, whatever, and open up God's Word together. I hope that'll encourage all of us. Let's pray.